Yeah, it's very nice to be here with you tonight. I'm really challenged to give you that challenge I was asked. And first of all, let us read a verse from the book of James. One verse from the book of James. And I just want to read from James chapter 5, the second part of verse 16. I read from the JND translation. It says there, "The fervent supplication of the righteous man has much power." And I have it on my heart to speak about prayer for a couple of minutes because I have the conviction, and that has grown of the past weeks, that prayer is the key to revival in our days, and it is the key for the Lord to do mighty things even today in 2019. I want to witness also of a few things the Lord has allowed to happen in our lives that we have witnessed recently, and I want to challenge you to be more involved in prayer, in sincere, fervent prayer, because the prayer and the fervent supplication of the righteous man has much power. That's a fact. And we can experience this even in the year 2019. Now, let's just think for a moment of what prayer has accomplished in the Bible. If you think of Bible stories, what has prayer accomplished? What has God done because man have prayed? Now, through prayer, God has divided the Red Sea so that the people of Israel, they could walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. Through prayer, God has brought forth water out of a rock so that 2 million people could drink this water during this wilderness journey. We read that through prayer, God, he has made the sun to stand still for a whole day when Joshua prayed, and never God has listened to the voice of a man as he did on that very day. Through prayer, it didn't rain for 3.5 years because a man prayed earnestly. Through prayer, fire fell down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice when Elijah prayed. When people prayed like Elisha, people were raised from the dead. People came to life again. Through prayer, God opened to people the eyes for the invisible world so they could see the armies of the God, of the Lord of hosts. Through prayer, the mouth of lions were shut. Through prayer, we read in the New Testament that the earth trembled when the first Christians, when they prayed together. And we read also that iron gates opened up when people prayed earnestly for their brother who was in prison. And there are more examples than this, but this already shows us that the fervent supplication of a righteous man has much power. And God has confirmed it over and over again in the Bible, but also in church history. Now, what do we express when we pray? We express two things. The first thing is we express dependence upon God. We pray because we need help from the Lord. And the first time that prayer is mentioned in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 4, when Seth called his son Enosh, that means weak or mortal man. At that time, people started to call upon the name of the Lord. When they realized their own weakness and they realized their need for God, they started to pray. And that's what we need today. It's not enough that we speak about our weakness. If we only speak about our weakness without praying, we are hypocrites and nothing else. If we speak about weakness, we need to pray. That's an obligation. So let us ask the Lord more to help us in our weakness. And then the power of the Lord will become manifest again, even in our days, in the days of small things. And the second point that we express through prayer is confidence. We pray because we believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That says Hebrews 11, verse 6. And the last time that we read about prayer in the Bible, the last prayer that is mentioned in the Bible is, Lord Jesus, come. Now, this prayer is based upon a promise. The Lord Jesus had told his disciples, I will come quickly. Now, we may think, okay, they could have sat back and relaxed and say, the Lord will come anyway. But they didn't do that. They claimed the promise of the Lord and said, make it true what you have promised. And that's what prayer does. What we can do through prayer is to claim the promises of the Lord. People like David, they have done it. When the Lord told David, I will build you a house, David says, because you have told me I will build you a house, I ask you to build my house. And we find many other examples. So through prayer, we can claim the promises of God. And the more we do this, the more we will experience that God is faithful. And we will experience how he is going to answer to prayer. I want you to keep in mind three things when you think of prayer. The first thing is, we need to remember to whom we pray. That's the first thing that is very important. When we go into prayer, let us first of all think to whom we pray. And I found this very touching by studying the Word of God to see people, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, how they started their prayers. We don't want to set up laws, but I want to give you some pattern that we find. And let us turn just for a moment to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. We find a man who was in really great difficulties, Hezekiah, his name, the king of Judah, and he had received a letter, and the people, this Assyrian, was threatening him in a very terrible way. And what does this man do? He takes the letter and he goes into the presence of the Lord. And let's see how he starts praying. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before Jehovah and said, Jehovah, God of Israel, who sittest between the cherubim, thou the same, that means the unchangeable one who exists in himself, thou alone art the God of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. Now, please count how many prayer requests do we find in this verse? Not even one prayer request. He only has the greatness and the majesty of God before his eyes when he starts praying. He has the Creator before him. He has the one who has made the heaven and the earth and says, I am coming to you now with my requests. But first of all, he sees the glory of the Lord. And if we start praying like this, then every problem gets its right place. If we have a great view of God, we will have a right view on the problems. And that's very important. So the first thing we need to remember to how great a God we pray to. The second thing is what we read in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. That is that we can come with boldness to the throne of grace. Now, where is the throne of grace located? Is it in Nashville, or is it in Dillenburg, or is it in Asia, or where is it located? It's located in heaven. And we have access to heaven even now in spirit. We can enter into heaven even now. That's a privilege that we have through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember this, when you enter into prayer in spirit, you enter before the throne of grace, you enter heaven in spirit right now. You come into the very presence of God. We forget that so easily.